Bible. He's got a Bible here today. He's got a Bible. 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 I want to see Bibles. Bibles. He's got a Bible. Three of us have a Bible.
I'm going to read from verse 1.
Bibles, get your Bibles open. We're going to read verse 1 to 14 today. We're going to go through the whole Ephesians 1 passage. Then we're going to pray. And we'll start the sermon. Bibles. Awesome. All right. Some people still got their hands up for the offering. All right, for everyone else, we're going to Ephesians 1, verse 1 to 14 for the last time. This is the end of our identity series, 8 weeks. If you missed any of the weeks, yeah, it's sad times. We got a podcast up. It may go down for a little while because we found a free place to do it, but we only get like a week, and so we're going to look for a way to keep the podcast up. All of our sermons are going to go up on this podcast in the future. So if you missed any, you want to go to iTunes, look up Power Generation 1, all words. I don't know if there's a space, Power Generation 1. It might be Power Generation 1. It might be Power Generation 1. Try both. This logo will come up. And you guys can listen to my wonderful voice on the train. All right, Ephesians 1, verses 1 to 14. We're going to read the whole thing. Because this is the last week, I'm going to point out the different identities that we've come across. The first week up on that banner was, if I am in Christ. And you're going to see as we read verse 1 to 14, in Him, in Christ, in the Beloved, in Him, in Christ. It keeps coming up nearly every verse because you need to be in Christ. Right? If you missed the first sermon, that is the sermon you want to listen to. If you want to be blessed, if you want to be free, you want to be chosen, all of these things are yours if you are in Christ. Okay, so we're going to read from verse 1 all the way through. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. That was, I am new. Paul used to be Saul, but he met Jesus and he changed to Paul and he became a radically different person. He became an apostle of Christ Jesus. So I am new. To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so that was number 3. I am blessed. God has blessed us in the heavenly realms. Eternal life. No judgment. I live forever. I'm with God. Face to face. There's no pain. No more tears. Good days, right? And we are blessed and we know that. Verse 4. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. And so this was the next one, I am chosen. God chose you before you were born, before creation happened, God chose you. And I said, people love me depending on what I do. I do, therefore I am. But I said with God, I am loved first. And because I know I'm loved, I do, right? Not the other way around. I am chosen. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. So this was, I am adopted. You are now in Christ, a son of the living God. You are a daughter of the living God. None of you guys are a mistake. None of you guys, you know, your parents might not have known you were going to be created, but God knew He was going to create you and He had always wanted you to be a part of His family. That makes us brothers and sisters, and that makes us princes and princesses, because our God is the King of Kings, right? Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. And this is, I am free. God has freed you from the penalty of sin. He frees you now from the power of sin. So you are free in Jesus Christ. Your addictions, Your sinfulness, it is getting less and less in your life. Okay, with all wisdom and understanding, verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. Right, so I said, he purposed, in verse 11, sorry, in him we were also chosen, being predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose. And so that was last week. I am purposed. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. It's an amazing plan. You're not just here for no reason. You have a reason to live, and God has a plan for you. We need to get on board that plan. And so now we go to verse 13 to 14. This is our passage today, and this is our last verses. Let's read it together. Verse 13. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Okay, we're going to pray, then we'll go into the sermon, and we're going to finish off our identity series. Let's close our eyes. And as we pray, I just want you to pray, lastly, you know, I don't know if you remember everything, probably not, of what we've talked about, but in Christ, you guys have your identity. And so right now, if you want to come before God and say, God, I come here wanting to know who you say I am. Not who anyone else says I am, who you say I am. I make myself available to you now. So you want to make that your prayer, and then we'll pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we just want to pray, Lord, that you would work in this place and that you would speak to us, God. So Heavenly Father God, would you come, Holy Spirit, would you work in this place?
Dear God, we thank you that you gathered us all here. Please let us learn your word through Pastor Paul. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Andrew. You know, when I was in high school, when I was your age, early high school, there's a very specific Sunday that is very memorable to me and my family. Not because it's a good Sunday. And that morning, when I woke up, it just seemed like another day. Right, if you were to grab me and say, what's going to happen today? I would have said, you know, I'm going to go eat breakfast. I'm going to put some clothes on. I'm going to spend half an hour gelling my hair. And then I'm going to go back then. I followed my parents to Catholic church. So I'm going to go to Catholic church, play with my friends, come home, maybe lie in bed, play my PlayStation, maybe do 5 minutes of study, and I'm going to go to sleep. And so I would like know that my day was going to be just another day. And when I walked out of that door into the car, I assumed that everything that I had would still be there when I got home. I assumed that my home would still be there when I got home. Well, I didn't even think about it because that's how much I assumed it. That's how sure I was that it was all going to be there. And so I go to Catholic church and my mom gets this call and her face changes. And I know something's up. And she says, we're going home. And the tone of her voice made me know this is serious. So we get in the car, we rush home. And when we get home, there's fire truck in front of my house, firemen in front of our house. Smoke is coming out of the house. And what had happened, there was a fire in the house. And everything that I had, you know, built up for me, like my PlayStation and all my games and my comfortable bed, was all gone. PlayStation had melted. My room was like black from all the smoke. All my textbooks were like gone. Yes. And, you know, all everything that I had was suddenly taken away from me like that. And all that my parents had built up and put money into was taken. And it was gone. And when I walked out the house, I was so sure it would all be waiting for me when I got home. I was so sure my house would still be there when I got home, but it was gone. And what I want you to know today is that life is full of insecurity. Life can take stuff away. Stuff that you think you will have forever might go. And even though we try to control our life and protect it, The truth is, it can come and go whether we like it or not. Right? So life is, we think we're on a boat. We think it's like a boat with a motor. And so I'm controlling where I'm going, and I want to go this way in life, and I control where I'm going. But that's not what life is like. There's no motor. There's no sail. You're on a boat with a spoon in the middle of an ocean trying to, this is where I want to go, and you're trying to determine where you're going, but you don't have that much control. And the boat just goes where the wave takes it. Right, we are subject to life or to God if you believe in God. That's the way life works. A boat with no motor, no sail, no oars, we go where the waves take us. And so I want to ask you, what do you think you are sure about in life right now? Because every morning you probably wake up and you assume, like I assumed, my house will be here when I get home. Maybe you assume my family's going to be around for a long time. I'm sure of that. But the truth is, maybe some of you guys already know, even family isn't secure. Parents fight. Parents leave sometimes. Parents sometimes divorce. And that family that we thought would always be the same, even that can break. Children fight with parents. Children run away from home. And all of that can change in an instant. Maybe you assume that my friends that I have are going to be friends forever. Right? Your BFF. Best friends forever. You know, when I was in primary school, I thought my primary school friends were going to be my friends for the rest of my life. And then I went to high school. And then my primary school friends faded away, and I got my high school friends, and I said, I'm going to be with my high school friends for the rest of my life. And then I got out of high school, and they faded away. Right? And as you grow up in life, you'll realize your friends that are so close, that seem so secure, even they can change. And you can't be certain that the friends that you have now might be the friends that you will have for the rest of your life. Maybe you woke up today and you assumed that you were going to live for a long time. But the truth is, you can't be 100% sure of that either. Right? You go to sleep tonight and you're going to think, I'm going to wake up. You probably be right. But there are people around the world who go to sleep assuming they're going to wake up and don't. People assuming my parents are going to be there until I get old and marry, but they're wrong. And some of us, even in this room, have witnessed that even parents can get ill. Even though we try our best to be healthy and exercise, even the healthy get in accidents or get sick, and we cannot be 100% sure about life either. That's kind of sad, right? You can't be sure about anything in life. Your job, when you get older, you go to work, you can't be 100% sure you're going to have that for a long time. Your house, health, family, friends. And I've told you this many, many, many times. You can't be 100% sure about anything except that you're going to die. All right? It's kind of sad, depressing. We are 100% sure we are going to die. You don't know how long you live, but you are sure that one day it'll be the last day that you live. And we can't be sure about much, if not anything, but we are 100% sure one day we will die. But the great thing is, in Christ, we can be 100% sure about something else. Right, the Bible says in Christ, I can be 100% sure that even though I die, I live. I'll be 100% sure that even though I die, I'll be able to go to a place where there is no more death, no more pain. I can be 100% sure that I will not be condemned by God, but God will see me face to face. He'll accept me and I'll have a relationship with him. I can be 100% sure of that as well. And so that's what I want to talk about today. Your security in Christ, your security in God, and that you can be 100% sure about what God has promised us. Let's read the passage and see what Paul has to say. Verse 13, you were also included in Christ. So there's our first sermon, in Christ, if I am in Christ. And he tells you how you can get in Christ. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Right? You heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And so let me expand on this. The way you become in Christ is when you hear about what Jesus has done for you. And what Jesus did is he came into this world. This is God. He became a man, lived a perfect life, died a death on a cross that he didn't need to die, but he chose to die. And when he died, he took your place because you deserve to die for your sins, and he took it upon his shoulder. All your sin, all your mistakes, your separation from God, the judgment from God, he took it on the cross. Now, when I believe in that truth, we call that the gospel, my sin is taken. My judgment from God is taken. My hell that I deserve is taken. And I'm going to go to heaven. Right? So this is the gospel. And he says, when you believed, when I said, yes, I believe in that truth. You might have done that before at a retreat. Maybe you're going to do it today. Well, I believe in that truth. He says, you were marked in him with a seal. Everyone say seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing, everyone say guarantee, our inheritance. Okay, what does that mean? Let me expand. Paul says, when you believed in Jesus Christ, you got the Holy Spirit. Right, so our God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I believed in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, this is God, came into your life. And he says he was like a seal in your life. I'm going to explain what that means in a second. But he, the Holy Spirit, makes it so that I can be sure of all the promises of God. I can be sure I'm going to heaven. I can be sure I'm not going to go to hell. I can be sure that I'm going to have eternal life. And all these things I can be sure about through the Holy Spirit. And so what's the seal? What I don't mean is this. Not that seal. I'm talking about this seal, Navy SEAL with the guns. Anyone know what a seal is? Okay, that's good. A Ziploc. Let me explain. It's kind of old school. Stamp. Thanks, Phil. Stamp. In the olden days, they'd have like these stamps, right? And maybe it was on a ring. Maybe it was like an actual stamp that they hold. Because they didn't have like signatures and stuff. They'd have a seal. Have you seen those movies where they're writing a letter and they close the envelope and they put wax on it? And then they go, and they kind of put this, they stamp this thing, right? That's a seal. At the end of a long letter, they put the wax on it and they get, that's the seal. And a seal would do three things. And I'm going to explain each of these three because they apply to us. Number one, you'd use a seal for ownership. Ownership. So if something is mine, I'll put my seal or my mark on it. So, you know, Ho Kim, his dad owns a farm. You know, praise leader, his dad owns a farm. And if you have a cow, you know, people put that metal into the fire and they seal the cow. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? They brand it and it's got like this mark on the cow saying, that's my cow. And you guys do it too. When you have a lunchbox, your parents print out a little sticker and they put your name on it. That's a seal. When you buy a book, right, you write your name on it, that's a seal. When you have a toy, you write your name on the foot, on the tag, it's mine. And what you're saying is, I own it. It's mine. And so God has marked you with the Holy Spirit, saying you are his. But God didn't, like, write his name on your forehead, like, possession of God's. He didn't do that. He sent you his Holy Spirit to prove that you are God's. Right, and if you are God's, that means God will protect you, God will take care of you, and he will keep you for the rest of his life. Right, if I went to my friend's house and like I'd lent him a book, and I said, hey, do you have this book? And he's like, no, I don't have that book. You never lent it to me. And I look through his bookshelf, and I find the book, and if I got it, and I flicked to the page, front page, and I saw my name, I'd be able to say, hey, bro, that's my book. And I'd be able to take it. It'd be in my right to put it in my pocket and carry it with me. Why? Because I put my seal on it. And so that's the same. God has put his mark on you that no matter what the devil tries to do, he will protect you. He will own you. You are his. And so that's what the Holy Spirit does. You are God's possession. Number two, it authenticates. It authenticates. It makes it real. You know when you guys buy t-shirts or like clothes it's got the seal, right? It's got a little tag at the back. And you look at the tag and you know that it's an actual Nike shirt because it says Nike on it. Or sometimes it says Nike on the front, right? It's a mark to prove that it's a real Nike shirt. For us, we go to the shops, it's all real. But if you went to like Korea, to an alleyway, and you're like, oh, is that a real Nike shirt? And they're like, yeah, it's a Nike shirt. And you look at the back, and instead of saying Nike on the tag, it says like Hikey or something crazy. You're like, hey, I don't know. I think it's a fake. Why? The seal is not there. Or, you know, I went to Thailand, and instead of iPod, it says iPood. And you're like, hey, I don't know. It's not a genuine seal. Right? And so back in the olden days, you couldn't just fake someone's mark. And God is saying, if you have the Holy Spirit, this is the real deal. I am real. What I promised is real. You are really saved. You are really going to go to heaven. It's all genuine. Now, here's the thing. How do I know I have the Holy Spirit? How do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? Because I can't see the Holy Spirit. Right? There's no mark in the back of my head. How do I really know? And here's the thing. I may not see the Holy Spirit, but I can feel the Holy Spirit, and I can see the work of the Holy Spirit. I feel the Holy Spirit in here, right, when we're praying and I'm moved to repent. I'm moved to be set free. Right, God does something inside of me. If you guys encounter that, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I feel it. And I see the work. I see the fruit. So I am changing. Right, I have been caused to believe. If you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit did that. And so like when we look out the window, you can't see the wind. That's the example we give. You can't see the wind. How do you know the wind is real? You feel it on my skin, and I see the trees move, right? So I feel the wind, and I see it moving. And that's the same with the Holy Spirit. I feel it, and I see it move in my life. And if you've seen it or felt it in the past, then you've got the Holy Spirit working in your life. You can be sure of that. The last thing that the Holy Spirit does is this. It guarantees. Everyone say guarantee. This is what Paul says in verse 14. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. All right, so when you buy a house, a long time away for you guys, houses are really expensive, right? They're like a lot of money. But when I go to buy a house, I don't have all that money all at once. So what we do is we give what we call a deposit, 10%, maybe like a few $1,000s. Right, that's a lot of money, but the house is like hundreds of thousands. So I give them this much when I'm meant to give them this much. And I'm saying, here is proof that the rest is coming. This is a little bit of everything that is going to happen. I'll give you this first. And that's what God does in our lives. He gives us the Holy Spirit to give us a taste of what will come. It's a little bit of everything that is going to come. And so if you guys ever in prayer felt totally free for a moment, have you guys ever felt that? You're worshiping and you're like, oh, I feel so free. That's a taste of what heaven will be like. Heaven will be totally free. It'll be like the awesomest thing in the world, and we get to taste it here. We get to meet God in prayer. Right, when we go into our rooms and we close our eyes and we pray and we feel like we're speaking to God and God is with me, that's a taste of what it'd be like in heaven. Right? In heaven, it's going to be even greater, even bigger, but we get to see a little bit of what will happen in heaven. Right? We see the Holy Spirit today helping us overcome sin. Right? Little by little, that's a taste of what happens in heaven where sin will be no more, and all of sin will be taken away. So that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. It proves that I am God's ownership, proves it's a real deal, authentic, and it guarantees that I can be 100% sure that everything that the God says will happen. If you see or have felt the Holy Spirit work in your life, there is no reason you should ever doubt that you are going to go to heaven. Have you guys ever asked that question? How can I know for sure that I'm saved? How can I know for sure that I'm going to go to heaven. And I can't show you heaven. I can't, you know, give you a picture. But if God has given you the Holy Spirit, you've seen the Holy Spirit move in your heart, move in your life, you've seen a glimpse of that, then there's no reason for you to doubt. God is working in your life by the Holy Spirit. He's promising you. He's sealed you. We call that a seal. Promising you that it will happen. And so, when you look back at your life, you've repented, you've encountered God in prayer and praise, then you can never, you should never, never, ever doubt that you're going to go to heaven, that God won't condemn you or send you to hell, that you are going to live forever in heaven. That's our proof, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. You know, at the start of the sermon, I said life is like we're on a boat and we have no motor, we've got a spoon, and the waves take us wherever they want. You know, sometimes life, the waves are big and the boat shakes. But if I can hold on to this truth that I am going to go to heaven, I am 100% sure I'm going to live forever, that even though it's painful now, one day there'll be no more pain. Even though life sucks now, one day it's going to be awesome. Even though I might be sick today, one day all sickness will go away. If I can hold on to that truth, it's like we're on the boat, but we've found a rock. Right? It is sure. It doesn't move. I am 100% sure it's not going to go away. It's a rock. And we get a rope and we tie it to our end of the boat. We tie it to the rock. And in this life, that's what happens when we hold on to that truth. The waves might still come. Life might still get hard. But if I'm anchored to this rock, I won't move very far. But I'll be kept steady. And so in your life, when things fall apart, I want you guys to remember, you are sealed. God has promised me all these things. When your health fails in your life or someone else's life and people pass away, we remember the security of eternal life. It's okay. If I were to die tomorrow, it's not the end. I will live forever. Right? I will be with other Christians for the rest of our lives and I'll see them again. When family fails and people divorce, people run away, we can be secure that God is my Father and He'll take care of me. And we will see those who are also believers soon. Right? Even if they believe in Jesus, we'll be reunited in heaven. When friendships fail in this life, we are secure because God will always provide for me. The Holy Spirit is living inside of me to help me every day of my life. And we have family here like I talked about a couple of weeks ago. When your faith fails, this is important because some of you guys will go through life and you'll go through good times where you're on fire for Jesus and you go through low times where you feel so empty, you don't want to read your Bible, you keep sinning the same sin ever and ever again, and you wonder, what is going on? Am I really a Christian? We look back. We see the way that the Holy Spirit has worked, and then we believe that we have the Holy Spirit. I know that it is God that will keep me strong. But the Holy Spirit is still here. I will get out of this low. God will help me. You see, the question we ask is wrong, right? We ask, can I lose my salvation? It's not your salvation to lose. You didn't save yourself. God saved you. Jesus saved you. The Holy Spirit worked in you and chose you before you ever chose God. Right? The Holy Spirit is keeping you every day of your life. So it's not my salvation to lose. The question, this is how Pastor Mark Driscoll says it, it's not can I lose my salvation, it's can Jesus lose a Christian? Because it's Jesus who saved me, Jesus who holds me, Jesus who keeps me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can Jesus lose a Christian? And the answer is no. If you've ever thought you were saved, God will keep you strong. He will keep you being saved by the Holy Spirit. He will help you persevere right until the end when you will get to see heaven. And so if you're doubting here because we haven't had a camp for a long time, I haven't, you know, felt something, I haven't cried for a long time, All of that stuff doesn't matter. If you believe that you've seen the Holy Spirit work in your life, that means you have the Holy Spirit. God will keep you. God has saved you. He will keep you strong until the end. You can be sure of all these things. So all of these promises that we've talked about, I am new, I am blessed, I am chosen, you can be sure of them as well because God, the Holy Spirit, is in you working these things out. So I want us to close our eyes and pray. You know, I started off by giving a very kind of dramatic example of the fact that life can throw curveballs at us, and things that we thought would happen this way don't happen that way all the time. And I say that because the truth is, when you guys live life and as you guys keep living, things that you felt so sure about will be taken away from you. Things that you had put so much energy and love into go away. And in those moments, I want you to remember what God has promised. That you can be 100% sure about not just death, something else in your life, that I'm going to heaven. God is with me. I want to live forever in eternal joy. No pain, no tears. I'll see God face to face. This is all real. If you've been here and you've worried, you weren't sure, did I really give my life to Jesus? Am I really a Christian? The fact that you're asking that question is showing that you actually care about salvation. If you're asking that question genuinely, the chances are very high that you are saved. You don't need to think about that question anymore. We don't always go through spiritual highs. It's the Holy Spirit that makes sure I am saved. Don't doubt. Trust in what God has said. Push forward. So I want us to come before God. If you're not Christian here, you need to get to know Jesus first. What he's done for you in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. If you have any questions, come talk to me or one of the teachers. Or we're just going to pray right now as we come to God. God, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is in me, working in me, making me sure that I'm sealed. I am yours. This is real. And one day I will see what I've experienced times 1,000. Thank you. Let's make that our prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who loves us, that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for us, that we have a way to be set free of sin and judgment and spend eternal life with you in heaven, and that we can begin that walk with you here today, that our identity, who we are, does not come from ourselves or from people around us. It comes from you. So Heavenly Father, I pray that you would keep reminding us at PG1 who we are in Christ. That we are new, we are not who we used to be, that we are blessed, not necessarily how we feel, that we are chosen, we are not what we do. That we are adopted, not a mistake, that we are free, no longer enslaved to sin, that we are purposed, that we have a purpose in life and we are not aimless, and that we are sealed, that we are not insecure, that God, we are 100% sure we will see you face to face one day. You will not condemn us or send us to hell. We are going straight to heaven. We have eternal life, no pain, no tears. It's going to be awesome. And that we get to glimpse that here on earth, and that we have the Holy Spirit as a seal. So Heavenly Father, I pray that as PG1 goes out to school and to family, that we will carry these truths with us. For those of us who are struggling with our faith, who are doubting, help us to remember it is the Holy Spirit who first worked in us to say yes to you. The Holy Spirit who keeps us every day. And that if we have the Holy Spirit, you will keep us strong until the end of our lives. We thank you so much, God. You are a good and wonderful God. We praise you. And we pray this in Jesus' name.